Ian, welcome along to the podcast. Of course, this is the intro record after we've done it. We've gone a bit giddy here, thanks to Canum. Of course, where are they again, Andy?
In
Bagotry, Ranelagh, and Park West, and they even delivered to Clondalkin. Anyway, big shout out to JK Stoutmans for letting us do the podcast here on a temporary basis until we sort out the bunker. Coming up tonight, we've got Ray Brady, we've got Sean FC, and we've got Andy Young. We're looking back at the Wofford game and we're looking ahead to the Wofford game and looking back at the outcomes of the United game. And of course, we'll be talking, what's the best sandwich you have? So, good evening, Periscope viewers. Welcome along to the Tuesday Club of a Tuesday instead of a Thursday. Tonight, we are discussing many things to do with football and Liverpool Football Club, including a game that has recently passed us and a game that will come in the future. First of all, just let me clear my throat. There's no kids around here, is there? No, that's all right. Take that! I've got you on camera! Right, so anyway, I guess, okay, in the house tonight, we've got, of course, Ray Brady.
Yay.
We've got Shawnee FC after a long. You've had a bit of a break, Shawnee, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
You have, yeah.
Mental break.
I know, yeah. In fairness, we had so many requests from the women to bring you back in, that we said we better bring you back in for that thing.
Shabba ranks. They call him Mr. Lover. Boom.
What is this? Why is that sending out the wrong thing? I'll give up. Andy Young, how are you?
Great, and yourself?
Yes, grand. I didn't get your name wrong this week. Ah, this mic is on the blink. That is a great start, isn't it? Anyway, lads, the main story. Okay, so Liverpool play United. We're beaten at the weekend 2-1. One of our free hits was used up. But the main talking point, we sort of alluded to there at the opening of this podcast, is the Carragher spit. The result is irrelevant. Doesn't matter about performance or anything like that. But the most important thing that happened was the furore and outrageous reaction for people to be offended and to be proven that they're the most honest and good-hearted people out there by saying that everything is wrong but everything is okay. Andy, as a rational man, where do you stand on the Spit the Dog reappearing in Liverpool?
Bob Carriages.
Bob Carriages. Bob Carriages. I think we just got the name for the podcast in seconds.
Andy. Oh, God. Yeah, it was a what's the story here? It was a mad thing to do, and it was a mad reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we didn't. You like anything like that? It's all edited. You didn't see the lead up to it. We got a little bit, and even the little bit that we seen, the fella driving is delighted with himself, and then he's playing a victim afterwards. We don't know what he said. I believe he had a little sign up as well saying your ma sucks cocks in hell. So I mean, it's fair game.
Any mass slaggings equal fair game for the valley straight in the face.
Yeah, so.
And a big hockey greener. Yeah, you know that. Once you slag the mass,
can I just ask you, right? Did you see the excitement the mirror had? Will you turn the sound off? You turn the sound off, please. It's like being on the Adrian Kennedy phone show. Can you turn it down there in the background there, Mrs. Thompson? Can you? When we talk on. Right. The desire for the mirror to get that out there. You could almost feel the glee in the person writing the tweet. Look at this. Look what we have here. We have this amazing thing.
Do you know what? I have to say, it's a bit amazing. A bit amazing. High profile sort of these pundits are now then, that it's that big news. Like, that you would have thought that would have been second tour page news, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, a football pundit does this or spits on a team, but it shows it's absolutely mental. A sit down interview with Sky, and he had to sit down and watch the footage and then explain it. Blair didn't get this shit off Obama and Iraq. Like, it was mental.
When he was a Premier League footballer, he threw a coin back into the crowd. Yeah, that's 10 times as bad.
It is bad. He should have scored it.
He was like the fucking dinosaur out of Jurassic Park, wasn't he, when he spit the thing?
Yeah.
Fucking,
there was spray everywhere. It was like Triple H, wasn't it?
It was a proper spit. He needs to work on his spitting if he's going to be doing that now, you know. So you can tell he doesn't do it a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you're going...
But in fairness, you have to take the wind into account. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. If you golly, it's going straight back in. Like, did you ever play that game with your siblings where you golly out the front window and it hits them straight in the back window? Me neither. It was just
he even sped up a little bit, so he knew he just balanced the trajectory and he put a little fade on it into the car window.
It was like, you know, a child spitting where they go.
It just goes,
to be honest.
When you watch the movie.
In all honesty, fucking spitting is the lowest of the
low. Yeah, that was horrible. It is horrible.
Like, but that, like, I don't believe that's all that was said, like you said. That, you know, I'd say a man had been heckling him for minutes.
Well, yeah, right, see, there's a bit of a, you have to play it by,
because it,
when you're on TV, and people might say it shouldn't work like that, but it does. You have to, there is that little bit you have to hold back and watch your P's and Q's. We'd course like,
yeah, but Ray, can you talk into that mic? We went through this at the start.
Sorry,
you're not in the pub talking to your mates. And if you want to spit, you spit out this way, right? Not at us.
I know, if you're on telly, you should know better and all that.
Yeah, you do have to have a little bit of restraint. The same way we wouldn't course as much on here as we would.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You have to have, so likewise, just he has to have that ability.
But he's not a public, he's not a public figure, you know, and he's not actually even a, like, he's not a TV personality. Like, he started out as a footballer and Sky are creaming it from him. Because he played football, because he has the insight and everything else, he's on telly now.
Yeah.
It's not like he's built up this career as a football pundit. Not really excusing or anything like that, but we shouldn't expect like the best of behavior from a fucking footballer. Listen, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a politician, or he's not
talk of him being sacked over it. Like, a slap on the wrist, he shouldn't have done it. Then that should be the end of it.
These days, big corporations and all sponsorship and everything involved, they have to make these statements, and to have a fella who's spitting out windows and as a child in a car and all that,
wasn't it? From school,
but the whole thing.
He should. Carragher should know, like, these fellas can't even leave the gaff anymore without being on a camera either, you know what I mean?
Gary Lineker got away with shouting on a pitch, I think. Gallying out the window. No?
I'll say something, right? That's the only thing I want to say. Like, it's just, again, it's all about something in the moment.
Outrage.
Right? It's about outrage and in the moment. And nowadays, it's not about a story or a real story. Like, there should be more coverage about how it's going to cost England 140 years to pay off the Brexit thing, right? It should be talking about Trump and his sacking your man who's the head of the CIA because he said, Russia did that, and all of a sudden, now you're sacked. And then the person who said, no, he's not sacked because he didn't say that. It was, no, you're sacked as well because you're his mate. Yeah. Like, that's what we should be talking about, right?
But there's no perspective in the media.
It's all about faux outrage.
Flanagan, lasted a kind of couple of days in the media for what he did. Because he's only John Flanagan.
Yep. It's just pure Daily Mail.
Like, there's people in the going through the courts day in, day out, doing 10 times worse than both of them. Doesn't make the news. Nobody cares. People like to use.
And this is not defending Carragher, by the way. This is just the way the media has gone now. Yeah. It's a media. It's 30 seconds of outrage.
Yeah.
And it's outrage about the smallest common denominator instead of the real issues that are out there. Yeah. Right, look, I don't want to drag on too much about this because, to be honest, it was just to open up the pod with a bit of light-hearted in entertainment. And as we know, if it was a red lemonade spit, it would be still coming out and stuck to the window and it would have crashed because it would have been...
what it would have done? It would have went into the car
and sucked a man out.
Child by the head.
You see, but in fairness, the daughter was mortified. Da, stop. And they're like, why did you see this? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit. Yeah. God love her having a da like that.
Yeah. Anyway, how's
how embarrassing.
When you saw Carragher.
How embarrassing. And right. selling the fucking story to the mirror, like, you know, with a few words from the girl as well,
you can almost imagine the phone call. What paper will I ring with this? Red hot. Who am I going to ring? The highest bidder for this. Oh, you have video now with Carragher.
Surely if you had a call Carragher on the lights, you probably would have got a few grand now.
Right, look, I want to move on because and I don't want to spend too much on the game because the lads in the Fatback 4 covered it off really well at the weekend, right? But I want to bring up some more the general themes that have come out from the weekend, right? So the first one that's really sitting there is the impact of this defeat, okay? So when we were going into this match, we were probably looking at ourselves as the favourites to win it because of the way we've been playing, because of all the type of things that we've been doing. And you look at it coming out, and it's been a, such a disappointing defeat in terms of the way we played and the way we seem to be so easily nullified, right? Is there a fear amongst you that this could potentially eat into the psyche of the team going into these last eight games? And I'll start with you, Sean, because you're saying no.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
When we went 2-0 down the four, when we went in 2-0 down at half time, I was already thinking the war sign. Jesus, this could get ugly in the second half. But they didn't, and I think that's because of how Mourinho set up 2-0 to suit them perfect. They knew they could sit back. He believes in his team, support 10, 11 men behind the ball, with his philosophy that he's drilled into them now at this stage, that he was well and capable to get a result. We were a better team in the second half, but at that, it's just because they didn't do fucking anything. You know what I mean? But we didn't crumble in the second half and die a death, which in the end I was...
I think throughout the whole game we were the better team, even when they were 2-0 up all through it. I mean, the two goals were literally two attacks and they scored both of them, you know.
I don't even think it's a wobble. I think it was just one of them games. And the most frustrating part was the two goals that we conceded. Is like, it's like Groundhog Day in terms of the same people letting you down.
It sneaks back in on you, the fear, and you think, what if we make a bollocks of this now? We've went from when United were being beaten by Palace into thinking, right, this is us nailed on for second, into all of a sudden you're starting to look everything away, Chelsea away, and all of a sudden it's nailed on for second into, right, we're in a battle for fourth.
We got beaten with Swansea a couple of months ago, and everyone thought they did bounce back. It's a good team on the club.
Say bounce back ability there and bring it back.
But
we haven't had a wobble.
What you can't take from it, which is very positive, is the fact that how far we've come on and how badly they've dropped off. Like, they have a manager playing scumbag tactics and shithouse football, and kind of getting results and everything else. And we played them off the park in the second half. We are a better team than, like, if you look back to when they were winning everything and we fluked the old win. That's how it felt to their fans. Fans can't look at that game and take much pride from it. They'll celebrate it and say, fuck you.
I just want to ask something, because it's a point you made, that we were a much better side in the second half. But I'll put it to you, Andy, that actually we made no chances in the second half. We did got no shots on goal. The goal that was scored was an absolute fluke of an own goal. And if you want to say, what does a Mourinho team do when it goes one up? It stacks bodies in front of you and doesn't allow you to get shots away and goal. And that's exactly what they never have.
Their performance is no different from playing against Crystal Palace away or something, and them fluking a couple of goals early on like that, and then just congesting the penalty area, the front of the back.
But you say fluking, they targeted that specific way of attacking us.
Yeah.
So that's not fluking. That's setting up your team to exploit the weaknesses.
It was obvious from the very, very beginning that they targeted Trent. They're going to play, if they're going to target Trent, they're going to play Lukaku over that side. Lovren happens to be over there as well, which Lukaku's going to fancy himself up against Lovren a lot more than Van Dijk as well. And the plan worked. I'm fair bollocks to them. I'm not going to sit here and be a bitter prick about it. They won the game, and you have to be you have to take our beatings. But it doesn't say great things about the team that Man United at home have to launch long balls on their goalkeeper or front of defence to try and get like Jack Charlton-esque.
I know what you're saying, but Sean, I want to put it to you, right? In that way, right, they have utilised what has been traditionally the weakest way for us to play, to be beaten, right?
Yeah.
And they executed it better, and that's why they're second in the league. Yeah. We can say what we like about them, whether we like the way they play football, the way Mourinho wants to do it. But at the end of that game, they come out 4 points clear in second.
But the thing is as well, Phil, remember last year before we played them at home in Anfield, we were flowing. We were baiting teams out of the park. We were playing unbelievable football, and we were all licking our lips. This United team haven't got going under Mourinho at all. Teams that come to Anfield don't know how to deal with us.
De Gea pulled a worldie off against Coutinho.
Right. But they came with a game plan, and he got out with a nil-all draw. And then after that, teams used that performance against us as a blueprint. And then all of a sudden, we started struggling against sides coming to Anfield, playing that sort of type of football. And that's when Phil is saying the knock-on from this game. I'm wondering now, are teams going to start going, look, they had to get Van Dijk in. They have looked better. But as you can see, that's susceptible down that fucking, sorry, that you can get at them at that left side.
Teams.
Down there, and that can happen. And like when I don't care much for stats in football or anything these days, but Sky did whip up the odd graph, and I think it was at that 10 minutes, and Neville was banging on about it, and the camera was panning to Trent every 2 seconds, and he looked bollocks at that 10 minutes. He was blown out that 10 minutes, and then they pulled the stat up. 70%,
60%
of their attack was going down their left side. Okay, it was perfectly orchestrated by Mourinho. Yeah, we can say whatever we want about.
Well, but I think the end of the day, it's not United's way, and they've two good players to be playing that system. I think that's why.
I disagree with you there, because United have always
no United way anymore.
And they've always, even when Ferguson was there, they had a pragmatic way of playing football, which involved finding a way to beating teams. And it didn't matter how they did it. When they used to go to Arsenal, they didn't try to go toe-to-toe with them. They used to just sit back, let Arsenal have all the ball and hit them on the break over and over and over. And that's why he used to play Iman Park and all that type of stuff. The players that you wouldn't traditionally have thought would be a United-style footballer, but it was effective at what they were doing.
But he's not just doing it sort of against the big teams.
Like, he's second in the league. Yeah. I hate saying this, but
at some stage, you get a pain in your bollocks watching that type of football. As a fan.
Yeah. I mean, the way people are going on, oh, they won the game, blah, blah, blah. They're 4 points ahead in the league.
But the thing is,
you know what I mean?
And it's not popular to say it because everyone loves Rafa, but I fucking hated watching the football. It was fucking defensive orientated, and you'd sit there watching. I'm still not in front of it. Sorry.
The thing is, boys, over a 38 game season, you can't just go in with one game plan. You can't have one style of play. Yeah, it just doesn't work. In order to win titles, in this very, very rare case this season, City have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
But the thing that people don't see with City is, like, the Carling Cup final there a couple of weeks ago, Fernandinho went off and he put Kevin De Bruyne in the middle. Kevin De Bruyne was going around smashing Arsenal players in tackles. They have that bit of shithousery about them. Now, in fairness, we didn't wilt or crumble on Saturday, but we haven't got that sort of resilience that are in team.
I'd love for five games
of a season where we could just do that. We could play that type of football just to get that extra result, that extra 8 or 9 points. Okay. We've the most draws in the top six this year.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to play that type of football, but I definitely think we can change things up on our crop. You've seen last year towards the end of the season where it became more results driven. It wasn't like any sort of heavy metal attacking football and counter pressing and everything else. It was quite organised and quite a few clean sheets towards the end of last season. And lately there's been a few clean sheets as well. I think it was a bit of a once off. I know, like, the usual suspects and Lovren, you know, you can point the finger at him and everything else. But he was up against a tough customer in Lukaku.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 90% of centre halves are going to struggle against Lukaku. He got ahead of him to win a header. You know what I mean? The only criticism I'd have in that instance would be that Lovren should have fouled him.
Yeah.
Because we can cope with set piece a bit better now. And then the ball is flicked on and Trent is caught on the wrong side of Rashford. Like, you know, if you're a fullback, like, Klein's got to be on the inside.
It was a fucking lovely turn
by Rashford, and finish. It was a lethal finish. And
lads, I don't want to go into the minutiae of the game. And the reason why I don't is because we need to discuss about those weaknesses when we talk about the Watford.
No, but this is addressing another thing. This is addressing the psychological thing and other teams using it as a blueprint. I don't think every team has a Lukaku, and I don't think every team has a Rashford.
We'll come back to that in the Watford game, because if you're gonna look at a team that potentially has a Lukaku,
Deeney,
and a Rashford, and Richarlison. We'll come back onto that afterwards, right? But I want to look, and it leads on from where we're talking about, and we're looking at the bigger picture and what we need to get over the line, right? So we've 8 games, right? We've got 8 games after that. We are now in fourth position, right? We've given up. We were 7 points on Chelsea going into this, and then we have 4 over Chelsea, right? So theoretically you could still lose another game and Chelsea can win, but if you look at it and you say 76 points is your benchmark for top 4, we need to get 16 points to get it. So you're looking at 6 wins essentially, right? Chelsea need to get 7 wins out of 8. We need to get 6 out of 8. Chelsea need to get 7 out of 8 more or less to secure top 4 football, to get ahead of us and hope that we draw points somewhere along the line. How do we approach it? Because Andy, going back to your point, Klopp last year did take a pragmatic view as to how to get over that line. They dug in deep over those last eight West or nine Brown, games and West just Ham. And grinded out results at certain points, and even to the point where I remember we drew at Southampton at home with about three games to go, and everyone was getting very nervy at that stage, right? But we still got there in the end, and it's like, how, like, you're bouncing back off. We've if you look at the stats, we've actually done really well to come back off bad results this season, right? And we've got a home match ahead of us. How do you approach it? You're Jurgen Klopp. How do you approach this week?
Well, just take up from where they were the week previous. It doesn't have to revert back to mad football where you're just attacking like lunatics. I think they've been way more organised lately. Yeah. As I said, like a lot more clean sheets than we've been used to for the first half of the season and everything else. We're most worried about Chelsea now all of a sudden catching us for fourth when before the weekend we had our eye on second. My eye is still on second. I think Klopp's eye and the players' eye is still going to be on second. Chelsea are having some troubles there. I don't think the players have the stomach for a battle for fourth. I think they take it or leave it.
You don't want us laying bait out for the red sort of showing that we're catchable. Had we won and put a bit of air, like you've seen them against City, their heads were down. And I think had we put a bit of ground between, maybe, I'm hoping I'm wrong, that's not just after giving them a little kick in the arse to say, hold on for a minute.
Well, maybe so. Look, I think the Liverpool players are quite hungry to maintain that top four thing. Yeah. So. I don't expect the wheels to come off just because we got beaten away to Man United with a couple of fluky kind of goals that came from mistakes.
John?
I think what's actually going in our favour is the timing of this weekend. We're the only team in the top six that plays this weekend. So it heaps pressure on us to get the result. But 3 points this weekend would mean a lot of games in hand. We've the points. We're 2 points behind United then again, and we're back up into court. Kane is out for Spurs, which I think is big.
I heard they've got onto Pep Guardiola and they've asked him to.
the best thing about it. Chelsea's next home. Chelsea's next league game is Spurs. So if you want to talk of this free hit stuff that we've been talking about, if we can get the win at Watford, it just puts more pressure on them in that game. I think then we play Palace away.
So we always win there.
So do you know what? By the time the rest of those teams play, technically we could be second in the league again.
Right,
Philip,
how do you feel about it?
I wouldn't go changing any plans. I think that there's a rhythm up top that the team play with, and I don't think that if he has to grind out a result, I think it's in them to sort of prick around maybe a little bit with the team selection. But I think in general he should just go as was. And I wonder how much of a game plan there is with the top end of the park. Anyway, honestly, I think then. The three of them are just free moving bastards, and I don't think it's regimented too much by Klopp, and play. I don't think it should be. I think it's just go and play.
Just play.
When you're talking about blueprints, United might have exposed a bit of a blueprint to how to play against Salah. They closed that gap between Ashley Young and the centre back. It was very tight. Ashley Young was nearly playing as a centre back himself, and it didn't give Salah that freedom.
Mane got loads of the ball on Saturday. Yeah.
Can I ask you something? This, and it leaves it. We'll talk about it a bit more in the Watford game. But when you mentioned that part, right, in terms of Salah, is there not a bit that, and when we're talking about the big picture, that we can't set up with the type of industrial midfield that we set up against United, because it was just lacking a creative spark. And
it was piss field.
It was one pace. We are very one pace.
I think you could probably go with Chan, Milner, and Wijnaldum or Lallana, right? But if you go with Chan, Milner, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, not one of them are going to get beyond the forwards, and they don't create that space and the gaps that allows Salah.
Maybe
to profit
on a good day can do it, but his head was 20 minutes into the game, and you hadn't heard his name.
Trent, I think after 10 minutes, you could see both of them were struggling. Trent was hitting bad passes all over the place.
The heads went straight away. The heads went.
No, nobody had a good game in midfield. The United midfielders. What's his name?
Timothy.
Matthew's they were far better. You were saying industrious midfield. Like, they were the industrious midfield. They were the ones that kept the tight lines and kept everything organised in there, and just didn't give
just
us a chance
that job,
to play,
didn't they?
Play between the lines. They did. And we just didn't have the spark between Milner, Chamberlain had his worst game in a long time, and Sean normally plays well in that six role, and he just didn't.
It's fine margins. I mean, don't get me wrong. Had we won that game and United played with the exact same tactics, they'd get slaughtered for it.
I know.
Right? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not a well done. It's literally well done because it worked. It's not well done. It was a good spectacle. They were, a well-oiled machine.
They were happy that the fans were silent, and when Rashford got taken off, they booed.
Yeah.
Klopp was lashed for his comment, wasn't he, before the game, and I've seen a lot of United fans jumping on it, but it's obviously the same show as where they just read the headline and they don't read the article. Klopp is right. If Mourinho doesn't win trophies this year, he turns up on him a little bit. Cause
that's exactly what I'm saying. It's all well and good if they're winning things.
Yeah, United fans will be like, well, what can we do?
I'll come back in a second.
We finished second in the league, 18 points. To be honest with you, anymore, like, even Mourinho said that last week himself, there's no difference anymore between second and fourth because everyone gets straight into the group stage.
And I want to ask,
and they get the same money.
Dave Lennon pointed out here there was too many Heidi Eights on the Saturday. Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think the middle of the park was he played
three Heidi Eights.
He talks about having two eights, and he played three eights.
I mean, 3/8 wasn't even a half. Yeah. But
we had a Hoidy 24.
Playing Oxlade Chamberlain wasn't the best idea, and I was in favour of playing Wijnaldum or Lallana because I just felt that our midfield needs somebody to be that link between midfield and attack. And despite all the plaudits Oxlade has gotten, he doesn't get beyond the centre forwards. He never, when Firmino drops into the centre, you need somebody to get past
run
Firmino
into the space
and create the space that he's pulled the centre forwards out to. Yeah. And Oxlade, Emre and Milner are never going to do it. Mm. Whereas Lallana does do it, right? And he's probably the best option for us in that situation. And we knew what United were going to do. So we needed somebody to become a third man running, essentially coming from midfield. Yeah. And that was one of the big things that we were missing when we were talking about the game itself. So looking on in terms of the one thing I want to bring, one team that came out, or one incident that really stood out for me, the balling out that Klopp gave Lovren. Now, there's two sides to this tale, right? So there's the real side, which happens on the pitch. That attack on a player on the pitch, right? Because Klopp nearly gets himself sent to the touchline because he runs 20 yards out of his coaching area.
Wits end, isn't it?
To ball Klopp to Lovren out in the second half. You know when he fouled your man
and just jumping in
and just dived in because he'd lost the head at that stage. And it was just and you could see Klopp losing the plot, saying, "Look, we cannot afford to lose our heads here," because it was 2-1 at this stage, and there was still 6 minutes.
And
of
Klopp's
time.
Not adverse to it, as he done with Spurs when he's having an off day. He'll happily put the shepherd's hook on him.
So. Exactly. So is that potentially? And I'm not saying it won't be this to the end of this season. Mm. But is that the moment where Klopp loses his faith? Because we've seen moments like with Mignolet and stuff where he made mistakes just before Christmas and he waited and he put Karius in then and said, right, that's it, you're done. Yeah. And Sacco obviously would be. Are we looking potentially at the end of the days for Dejan Lovren?
You want this one, right?
As a forced 11 player?
Yeah,
definitely.
I think even anyway, regardless of that game or any other game, I would say Klopp has his eye on having another partner for Van Dijk.
Mm.
Neither Matip or Lovren are at the level that Van Dijk is at. Mm. Like, he's head and shoulders above both of them. Like, miles, not even on the same planet. Mm. Like, Matip and Lovren are both average centre-backs. I prefer Lovren overall. I think he's just up for the...
He's more sure of himself.
Yeah, he's up for the game a lot better. Like, he's a bit stronger. He probably plays the... plays in that
would there be
role,
an argument though that we haven't seen enough of Matip with BVD that
I haven't seen much of Matip myself.
Is that his French cousin?
he could go on another bit if he played.
I don't think so. I think, like, no matter who plays beside him, they're going to be better anyway because Van Dijk is so good.
No, I didn't mean as in not by a centre back. I meant as in ahead of Lovren.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think he'll keep Lovren. I think Lovren's probably more dependable from game to game. Lovren's going to be half the glaring errors, the mad errors. I think Matip throughout games is just too soft. He's just Sean. I think he gets bullied a lot more.
Is Clavan dead?
What?
Is Clavan dead?
No, he's not. He's him and Bogdan.
No, he's not Bogdan. Clavan's not Bogdan. I'm not having that. Clavan was very, Clavan very was, good he was, before yeah. he went there.
He was good, but again, Clavan's not up to the level either.
But Clavan, we haven't even seen him beside Van Dijk.
But Clavan plays the same side exclusively on the left hand side because he's filling it at left back.
Yeah,
I think so unless you're going to push Van Dijk across to right and then Clavan.
Eventually, we'll see Van Dijk,
Gomez,
another. You know, he might bring in someone a bit experienced.
I reckon if it's a case in the season where there's a couple of games left and we've top four wrapped up, you'll probably see Gomez in beside Van Dijk, maybe.
Yeah, probably. And I think
it's gonna be hard to wrap it up with a couple of games to go though.
If push came to shove and we were in a position to do that, I'd say you probably would do
I think Lovren and Matip at the moment are playing for their future at the club.
It's just mad that the fucking they're playing for that future since the day they come in.
The flip side of this, I want to discuss with you a thread that appeared on Twitter exploiting the weaknesses of Dejan Lovren.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You didn't like it, though, did you? I seen you having a go as it was you.
Yeah. I don't know. Was your man a supporter or was he just someone who kind of does tactics?
I thought it was your man Sega Diallo. I just see the bleeding.
No,
the Senegal flag.
Something Jan, something. I've never seen him before.
No,
but anyway,
he's been around a good bit. But
he put
Jan Janssen.
Bastard fucking thread or something like that.
The disaster artist.
Dejan Lovren, the thread was.
Dejan Bastard Artist. And Doug,
that's a great insult.
Dug deep into his hard drive. So this is a fella who has a collection of Dejan Lovren mistakes on file, ready to use on Twitter. Now, what kind of a supporter goes to the bother of digging out mistakes to produce them in a big thread? Deadly online.
Sevilla!
They need two now.
Two long bolts.
To encourage. To
Sevilla! Sevilla!
Sevilla.
They need two. They need to encourage.
To get people on board with the hate gravy train. Now, like.
But
stuck with Lovren at the moment. A thread on Twitter isn't going to change Klopp's mind. Klopp has decided that. This is okay for the time.
I thought the best bit of the thread was when he showed Lovren's mistake in the Europa League final, right? And it was from the Champions League this year, unless Carey has suddenly appeared in this year's chair.
No.
And look at him for the first goal in the Europa League final. No, mate, that's the Champions League.
I get what you're saying, Andy. There's no benefit
is
to doing
he
stuff
like that. What's he shown
he's
the Liverpool fan?
No,
what's he seen? Like, we've seen every single one of them happen. We all know.
And we all
have
mad.
People do that on Twitter.
Talk into the fucking microphone.
They're determined to change your mind on what you think. That this is some of people's goals. Like,
but there's,
it doesn't matter.
But there's a belief out there.
No, you're wrong. Watch till I show you this clip.
There's a belief out there.
He's not all right because look at this.
There's a belief out there from that kind of prick who thinks that there's Lovren fans. There's not. The biggest Lovren fan out there is the one that goes, we have to support him.
I don't think that's a Lovren fan. That's just a Liverpool fan.
There's no Lovren fans. It's an imaginary thing. Oh, yeah. It's like there's no. Because I read in that thread as well, someone was like saying
every day
about Mignolet fans. Yeah. They don't exist. FSG fans don't exist. Mignolet fans don't exist.
I'm an FSG fan.
Nobody is a fan of these.
I'm going to John Henry's ball in Boston next week.
Yeah,
I am. Special guest.
Special
invited
guest.
The day trippers over. I'm doing the pod live from his yacht. He was going to invite you over, but he said that you couldn't get the time off work.
And Linda's handbag is going to feature
the
on the day trippers merchandise.
The thing is, with
I've got an FSG handbag.
I don't think these threads on Twitter exist to create an opinion of a certain player. I noticed the trend with these. This actually started with Arsenal fans. So Arsenal fans have been doing these thread jokes on Twitter, like the banter era. Here's the Arsenal banter era, and they go through like certain parts in the timeline of fucking stand 11s that they had. I seen a Liverpool one and they were talking about what Rodgers done in the away game at Madrid, and then when we needed to win, the team he played against, Basel at home. This is just a thing taking the piss, but when you actually see it compiled of Lovren, like, you think of all the times the Basel's made you pulled your hair out, and he's still at the club, like, you know what I mean?
But can I say something to you, and I think Sean, if you think that's bad, Martin Skrtel played for the club for 10 years, and I tell you what, there could be, you could have a thread that was eternal.
The one, the best one was the West Ham game when he's in the corner.
Yeah.
And it's he's like the wacky wave of a flavable chew man out of family. There's just legs and arms going everywhere, and he kicks the.
Under Rodgers, there was a time when Lucas used to drop in the middle, and he used to find the centre backs, went out to defend. As opposed to a midfielder coming around and helping out the fullback, it was mad.
Yeah.
Once he went out there, that was
Lovren lost that seat. That was
Lovren every other game. Like, to do a compilation like that to just get people on board with it, you know, the player is ridiculous. You could easily put a compilation together and make Lovren out to be the best centre back in the whole world.
Winning headers, picking
out good passes. You know, just
the goal against Dortmund and Lou.
A compilation like that isn't going to convince me that Lovren's a great player.
To make him look shy as well.
I just don't understand as a fan. That doesn't resonate with me. What would the players think? What would the manager think?
Sevilla! Dos a zero.
Fuck you, all your bars. I know loud you watch this because you slag me over it. So fuck it. Get a bottle of Grey Goose to this table now, dear Garçon. And I know loud you pricks watch this to have a go at me. Do your podcast, shove up your bollocks, you cunt. Is a fucking shite.
One thing I'll say, right,
wrap this up. I've loads of WhatsApp messages to send to.
It's more important to get onto the WhatsApp.
They need
three now. Three, that's right. Right, I want to move along because we have got the Watford game coming up, right? And we sort of rolled into where we are. And as you said, it's a chance to go 7 points clear to Chelsea. It's a chance to go back above Spurs. It's a chance to recapture the ground that we've lost United by that defeat and put the pressure back on the other teams with what we're looking at, right? So,
are you saying that you're only as good as your last game?
I'm saying that. We have a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I'm saying there's a chance. There's still hope, Ray. There's still hope. At the moment, we can mathematically catch Man City, so we could still win number 19.
Yes.
And don't forget, if we finish second, City are going to be doing for our peds in the future. And we will be de facto champions.
We're going to the King Harry to do all their throwaway peds.
We are.
We'll do all their leftover
peds. Exactly. Yeah. And just before we get into the Watford game, for everyone who's watching, there's a new podcast starting on Friday night. It's called The Tactics Board. It's sponsored by JJTV, the best IPTV in Ireland. So get on there, you'll find out where the site is. It's hosted by Jamie Holm, and it'll be starting this Friday. It'll be on every time that we're not on a Thursday, so that means most Fridays it'll be on Friday evening with you. And it's very different to the normal Trippers podcast. It's a tactical preview of the match coming up at the weekend and involves ex-pros and some...
Jamie being an ex-pro.
Well, yeah, in the Welsh Leinster Senior League. You know, we played in front of the crowds, six men and a sheep, because it's Wales, not Ireland. It'd be six men and a potato if it was Ireland. It's on this Friday. The first one's on this Friday. So get on there. I'm not sure who's going to be on it, but it will be on this Friday. And it's definitely worth a watch. It's something different from the Trippers, because we like to bring you different, and this is part of our expansion plans. Looking up to the Watford game, season the initiatives, I'll go back to it, Ray. This is an opportunity, isn't it?
Of course. And it should be sort of, like I said before, just same again, please. I don't think they should look too much into the fucking result. Just go out and do it. The fans will be up for it probably a bit more. There's not that over expectancy that was there when we were, you know, whacking teams out of it. So I presume that the fans will be up for it. And I can't see anything else but Liverpool win if I'm honest.
Shawnee.
I can actually see he's giving them a hiding.
Yeah, come into the mic there.
The one main takeaway is, like, the play when we were beaten by United the other day, the players' heads didn't just drop. They looked furious. They looked, and even when you see sort of certain reactions from social media, I know people shouldn't read back into it too much, but like Andy said, I do think this team has got character. There is characters in this team. Like, Salah hates the lose. You see him, like, we could be 5-0 up here, he'd have four goals, and Klopp would take him off with 2 minutes to go, and he's shaking his head. There is a winning mentality in this team. And I do think we will roast this on Saturday, to be honest with you.
Andy.
Yes. Yes, Johnny.
Yeah, Sean's dead right. I think they're a great team and there's loads of character. Like, you know, that word got destroyed under Rodgers, so we can barely use it now without being laughed at. But they're like, Klopp has built great fucking character around the team and they all want to play, and whoever plays gonna gives a socks. I don't see us roasting them. I think they'll just go about it in a kind of very organised, professional manner. And I think we have enough quality to beat them.
Just to add to it, like, as well, it's amazing, I think, the difference in sort of a few weeks, how my arse isn't squeaking when we're a few goals up. We just have a little bit.
Yeah.
Now we're after getting beaten by United, but
the game management is much
better. Now we're going 2-0 up, and haven't got the arse squeaking, thinking, right, we're conceding here.
Like that,
we're threatening at corners for the first time in 40 trillion fucking years. We're actually a threat at
set pieces. Like that, I was the same. I wasn't there. I was wrong, but I wasn't nervous going into that United game as I normally would, because I think we have the beatings and I think we're a better team and everything else. And like that now, and we're 2 goals up, you're not shitting it. It's just when the ball goes down towards our defence, there's a lot. It's a lot more organised. Robinson's playing very well. Carrius, Van Dijk, obviously, and then Lovren normally, or Matip when he's played him, has been good. And then Trent has been excellent since he's come in for Gomez, and when Gomez played, so the defence isn't bad anymore. If you look back to when we were conceding a lot of goals before, like, you know, the Spurs game and before, I think, did we concede?
Yeah, the 2 goals against England aren't enough to say we're going back to concede shy goals.
Yeah, we haven't reverted the type. No. It wasn't
It's
classic Liverpool.
No, it wasn't like calamity players missing the ball.
It's less than a goal a game. Like that. I mean, and towards the end of last season when we were picking up results, it was a bit like that as well. It was less than a goal a game between Matip and Lovren when they played together.
Yeah.
So that's average. That's not a team where you'd say are bad defensively. Kevin, am I correct there?
I just looked at what happened in the group. Steve Brown said things can only get Ben Yedder, right? And Brent Zekic removed him from the group. He wasn't an any of it.
Yeah, say nothing, it's 2-1. 2-1.
2-1?
But they need loads of goals.
Need 3
just
goals.
It's fucking 10 to 10 now.
You don't check that score again.
I'm going to fuck this phone out the window.
I don't know. If this is the podcast last week, they would have lost. That's how late it was when we started. Looking at our team, lads, I'll go back to my point. Do we expect to see a change in the midfield? Like, Henderson was left out and supposedly he's not carrying an injury. I find that questionable, right? I do find it questionable because, there's no way I'm Jurgen Klopp and I'm praising Henderson for the way I praise him, and I don't start him in the United game, right?
But he said as much in the interview, he just says there's a lot of things impact on your team selection, you know, whether it's the right personnel and whether you're 100% fit. You want your three most fittest players to play in a game like that. So
if he does the proper manager's thing and just simply say that the fucking three in midfield didn't work, so he's going to ring changes in the centre of the pack. Right, whether it's Henderson in for Chan or fucking Henderson getting bombed for Lallana, he's going to make changes because they were piss weak. And end of story. So
he's going to come in like that. If they romped it in the middle of the park, there'd be no changes. Exactly. But they didn't. It was a fairly poor enough midfield performance. So I'd say Henderson comes in, that's for sure.
Yeah. Had a Milner probably, and I think he might stick with Chamberlain. Maybe watch it.
Right. Might start Lallana. Could be the game to start Lallana. He's plenty of minutes under his belt now.
The talk is wrecking my head as well. Like, give the fella a fucking chance,
like.
He's being thrown out wide in games where, when I think Steve said it last week, when he was in the height of his Liverpool career last year, when he was pushed out there, he struggled.
I think
Lallana is, if ever I seen one, a rhythm player, a player who needs minutes under his belt to get back into the rhythm of his game.
The problem you have with Lallana is, right, when you look at him long term, is how does he get into that team?
Maybe he doesn't.
On a regular basis. And this is the question is, whereas a couple of years ago, when he was at the peak, as you said, it's the peak of his powers, and he had all the pace and he hadn't carried those few knocks. Now he's, you know, he has got a susceptible hip that he seems to pick up injuries on and from his Cruyff turns because he does too many of them. He has his dodgy hip. They had to put
it's
to
his
the
pelvic
ball.
His pelvic bone is just eroded.
Even when he's shitting out, it's ridiculous how two-footed he is. And having a braise.
His ball and socket joints are eroding from all the fucking.
Fastino was brilliant. Rang him up and said, "I don't know what way you're going to throw." Of all people, I was just like, "I have no idea what way you're going to throw next." Did you see? Oh my god! Did you see Asprilla on fucking Twitter? If anyone gets it right, go on to Twitter, right? Asprilla. He's wearing he was wearing like a costume, a horse costume, riding around on a pony in his back garden. It's the most ridiculous thing ever, teaching the horse how to play football. I swear to God. No, he's on a horse. He's on a horse in his, it's like, but it's a Shetland pony, it's not like a full size horse.
Is it weirder than the picture of Lucas in the cattle farm?
It's a video of Asprilla teaching his Shetland pony how to play football, dressed as a horse, riding the horse around. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And I watched it about 90 times.
More ridiculous than Brendan Rodgers with the three envelopes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a big show.
Because if Brendan Rodgers had said, I've got a horse that as brilliant teaching how to play football, doing step overs and everything.
Brendan Rodgers.
I showed him the demo and he goes, what's the start of Andy Carroll? It was brilliant.
What's in this one? Carragher spit.
Kind of lump it at you. Right, the thing we were talking about earlier on, there is a template there, and if you're looking at one team, Watford, they're going to hoof the ball down to Saldini, who's going to stand on the right hand side, right?
Huh? Saldini.
Whatever.
Saldinio.
Saldinio.
Well, he fucking will turn into Saldinio against us.
And he's going to just knock it on to Richarlison. And Richarlison's going to try to do the Rashford and cut inside and score the goals.
And
right?
We're going to sign a pre-contract with Richarlison. Just because that's what we do.
Probably so one we'll
game. But I'll tend to do that.
What?
They don't really tend to do that.
Who?
Watford.
Yeah, but Andy, they don't tend to do it. But they're going to look and saying, hang on, what's that? Look at that thing over there.
Yeah, but they, you're saying that at the same time. That's all well and good. They can't play that. They won't defend like United.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, they're not set up to defend like United. They haven't got the personnel. They haven't got
that. They haven't got the hair. They haven't got...
Yeah, right, you were sitting here discussing that. Imagine what their team talk is, trying to stop them front three.
Yeah.
Best of luck, lads. Good luck with you.
Yeah,
you know, so...
It's
fuck
the
fucking Reds.
If we had got the first goal against United, I'm sure we'd have won the game.
I reckon if Van Dijk gets
the pressures off,
Van Dijk
gets the equaliser from the corner, that changes the complexion of that game because straight away
they scored 20 seconds later, didn't they?
But right, so we reckon we can deal with the template. Do you start Joe Gomez in this game over Trent because of the impact? You start Trent again?
No, I start Trent again. He's a kid.
If they target him, what do you do?
He's a kid. If they target him, then you probably
start Cloyne.
It's if I'll tell you what,
Rashford, I think people are fucking forgetting how good
Rashford is. Really good.
Rashford has been shit this season, and he's talking him selling Rashford.
But he's a really good player.
Dripped into the fucking team. I think he's brilliant.
I'm just telling you now, he hasn't been playing well this season, but he did turn up. He was doing a Makeda basically on us because he scored in the previous game as well. All of a sudden, he found his form just as we get towards the end of the season.
Do you know what? I think he probably would have. I said it in the WhatsApp group. I think he probably Klopp probably went with Gomez at United the weekend if he wasn't so poor against Porto, because he looked like he lost the ability to play football altogether against Porto. And nobody talked about the Porto game
Gomez
because it was a
few fuck ups there as well. Yeah, that's it. And getting snared
I don't disagree with you, right? Because there is no perfect solution here, and Cloyne has probably in our heads become a better right back because
he's been injured.
When Cloyne got injured,
the stocks have risen.
No, when Cloyne did get injured, he was in a poor run of form. Mm. And people were saying we didn't have a right back to give him a rest. It was a catch 22 position. And because he was overplayed, he ended up with this long term injury, right? Mm-hmm. But he is the most natural right back. And if we want to be defensively solid or improve our defensive solidity, if you have to play Lovren, right? Mm. Wouldn't you prefer to play Cloyne alongside him? Because then you have Cloyne, you've got Robertson, you've got Van Dijk, and you've got Karius, right? Yeah. So you're reducing the potential weak links and potential target areas in your defence.
You probably stand
from view are that good that you can almost do that thing of just saying let's take a step back from the fucking attacking side of our fullbacks. All right, they need to bomb on a small bit, but first and foremost, fucking defend. And Cloyne is the best there. Simple as on a fit day between the three, I'd have Cloyne in a 100% ahead of the other two.
Matip, come back in.
Matip will play, I think.
Yeah.
I think
Matt's likely to play.
Because when you said the club skull in Lovren now, it doesn't mean he's never going to play for the club again, but I do think you'll throw him at.
It's good though, isn't it? It's not that much of a drive. As much as we have our favourites and reasons, but we're not.
At least we're not playing the two of them.
Drop offs no. in standards. I don't. If Gomez comes like, in for genuinely, it's not a giant drop.
Between Gomez and Trent,
it's 6-1.5.
Between Matt and Lovren, I'd be like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There's no big drop off now. You know where you have a fucking a 2 hour fucking 10 coming in for a fucking 7 hour.
I reckon if the game had been at Vicarage Road, Gomez would play 100%. But I think at home we're gonna have more of the ball. Trent as an outlet. Klopp will always look at air attacking options, so I think that's where you'll go with Trent.
And Matip is better on the ball than Lovren if you wanted to step in. So he can step in. If we're going to have all the ball and they're going to be playing fairly high up, he's going to, you know. The other thing I'll say then, in the midfield, we touched on it, everyone start Hendo again. Hendo, Chan.
I'd put Hendo back in. Hendo, Chan, Ox.
My disappointment with Milner starting was, I remember I said to you, I thought it was the wild card of the selection that Milner might come in. Milner's always struggled to play two games in a week, and he played in the Porto game, and then he went and played, you know, and he looked like a tired player. Like he's 27 at this stage.
I agree with Andy now. There's a chance maybe it'd be Hendo and Lallana will come in there. I reckon maybe in the midfield.
And I probably wouldn't be mad at that either. Like it's easy. I know he hasn't looked his best since he came back in, but it's easy to forget actually how good of a footballer that Alan Lallana is.
When he played in there,
he's technically, I think it's brilliant.
It's a game that will suit him. Like he'll just give Watford another thing to think about. Like if they play Henderson and Shan, two of our best kind of like defensive type of midfielders,
they can cover.
It's going to be
give Lallana a bit of freedom.
So that was my argument for playing Lallana, because you know it basically set up like an away team at home, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing that you can't deny about Lallana, when you do play him in that attacking midfield role, right, is he gets beyond Firmino.
He pops up.
He gets into the box. And he is able to play those 1-2s on the edge of the box. If you have a stacked defence in front of you, he's good at playing those quick 1-2s that can unlock players around the side or get himself in behind them as well to get shots away. And he's got wonderful hair.
It's better now.
Yeah.
3 minutes
into entry. That's a done yoke.
Fucking delighted.
Fuck you, Jesus pricks.
Does that not take their mind off?
I can't say that with enough venom either.
With the Champions League
going. So
there's no shouts then for bringing Wijnaldum in. It's a home match and he plays his best matches in the home matches.
Who?
Of course there's like Wijnaldum's a very good player. Like he's got a home, but I just can't see him playing Henderson, Chan and Wijnaldum.
Okay.
So, and I don't see him making like three changes in midfield where Wijnaldum, Chan and Lallana play. So,
although Hendo, Wijnaldum, Lallana midfield would be fairly creative.
Hendo, Wijnaldum, Lallana. But that's three changes in midfield, so it's unlikely to
happen.
They're
all geek.
if you were to judge him on that shit performance,
Chan is signing for Bayern Munich anyway today.
Yeah, but he's shite apparently. That's why Juventus
and Bayern Munich want to sign their midfielder, but it's grand. Everyone's saying, let him go. Will Ilze replace him in the summertime?
Who's saying he's shite though?
I think there's a bit of anger amongst the fans.
They have a whole trend.
He's definitely not shite.
He's not shite, but he's not like world class either.
The midfield.
He's a very, very replaceable.
He's not very. This is the thing. If he's very replaceable, right, then. Why is it when you think of who would naturally replace him, there's no names would jump to mind?
Yeah.
A fella who's adapted already to the Premiership.
The mad thing is as well.
That's improved season on season. And is coming into the peak of his career.
Yeah, we can go on.
Naby Keita is going to come into the midfield.
Yeah, but
anyway,
you're not, they're talking about Jorginho as well. Oh, that seems like there is legs in that because they're at the signing of his replacement already. Like they're at the getting that Argentinian.
There's loads of midfielders out there.
Jorginho, Keita and any midfield. You can put Fellaini beside him. That's a lightweight midfield.
You're lacking power.
Yeah,
the one thing Chan has brought that midfield since he was there, that bullying,
the four-sprung technique.
But you know what's going to happen? Like somebody will get mentioned. Mate. Everyone will pretend they know him and say he's deadly.
Like a glove. How's your win now at the weekend? In your fucking face.
In case you're watching, because they're probably all crying into that soup now at the moment. I see that one. That one works every time. See the bubble burst?
Yeah.
You don't even have to say it. Just put a picture of the bubble being burst.
The bubble being burst.
The old boy.
Send me that. That's, everyone's getting that at me. Everyone in me phone. Give me dead man. Everyone's getting
dead man.
The WhatsApp.
Send it to all.
Send it all to heaven. Louis, there could be a chance that we keep him. In fact, the fact that Chan hasn't signed for anyone and has said that he's not making his mind up to the end of the season,
and that ball,
he makes
the house hunt and stuff and all. Honestly, hand on heart, I think he's there.
I watched an interview of him in German on the Champions League Weekly there at the weekend, and he was talking about how Klopp has been a huge influence in his career, more so than any other manager.
His own name, Emre Can. Well, he was own name.
No, he didn't. Strangely enough, like most human beings, he didn't refer to himself as Emre Can in a fucking
Emre
interview.
Emre
Can. No, he just referred to me.
Emre Can Jansen TV.
Like most normal people.
The ideal scenario would be that he stays, not because he's the best midfielder in the world, but because it's an awful
less
thing
of
to
a change.
It's
one less change and one less replacement you have to do.
He's on board with how it's all supposed to happen in the midfield. He's ideal in there. It'd be unfortunate. Like, it would be a setback, but he's replaceable.
Decore then off Watford. That's the last name I'll throw, which is this the one he's been lined up. There's talk about him coming in and replacing Chan, if that's the case. It could be one of these, you know, auditions for him. We've seen it before when we played Lamina off Spurs.
Well, the best addition he could do now is take the ball in his chest and start poking at his own goalkeeper.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Football next year.
Is your man playing a goal for him?
Lifts his top with a Dockers t-shirt on.
Is Nuno playing a goal for him? Nuno Gomez.
Yeah. It would make sense. We kind of tend to do that.
Yeah.
By players that have lit up the Premier League.
He's a good player.
Decore is a good player. Like, there's talk of him going to the World Cup.
There is, yeah. Because he's got tickets.
He got them off Robbie Earle. Remember, he was giving out his tickets to the World Cup.
He got them off El Nenny.
I haven't written off the possibility of Chan staying. I think, like,
no,
he was definitely gone. We'd know about his replacement.
How?
What?
How?
How? Because it's one of those. It's one of those things. Like, if a player is definitely gone, kind of comes.
I know what he's doing. I know what Chan is doing.
He's
buying a gap from Farnby and he's going to rent it out to Goretzka when he pulls the plug on the Bayern meal. And then when he
Did it gather legs?
The Goretzka one?
No.
I don't even know where it started.
I think Andy Heaton threw it up.
No, where it started. Ray Dickinson started. Because he's out looking at Dalgaff.
Really?
Yep.
Good man, Ray.
And it'd be great to say hello to Ray. Great to say hello to Ray. Unfortunately, he's still on the steamboat to China, yeah. On the way to Australia. G'day, Ray. Right, the last thing I got to show predictions. Ray Brady talking to the fucking mic for the 400th time.
3-0 for Jurgen's rampant Reds.
Excelente. Shawnee Lawson.
4-1 to Didier Decore. Liverpool's new number. Six.
Is he getting the number 6 here?
Yeah, because Lovren is getting shipped out to China on one of them slow boats.
On one of the raised boats.
Now 4-1 Liverpool.
Andy Gray.
Oh yeah, beauty.
It's on
2-0. 2-0 2-0 to the Reds.
2-0. I'm hoping, I don't care what type of win it is, just wants to win. Just get the three points. And we move on to the next game. Right, one Tripper Chats question came in and I can't remember who said it. It was Jay Reid. Actually, Jay Reid, that's who it was.
Jay Reid.
His question was, two fillings for a sandwich. Sauce doesn't have to be one, you can pick your own sauce itself. But what's your favourite two fillings in a sandwich?
Easy one.
Me can obviously sell something.
No, Ray, the fucking invisible man behind
chicken
you.
Chicken and Cajun. Chicken and Cajun.
That we count that as a sauce.
You can get Cajun. You're not wasting that there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Because you could have said
Cajun chicken with something else.
Yeah, you could give yourself a bit of labor room, will you?
There's a Creole sauce I tasted somewhere in a restaurant that was absolutely gorgeous. So we'll go with that. Cajun chicken with a bit of Creole sauce.
But the sauce is free. It's two fillings. Imagine bringing him into Subway.
That's like saying, what's your favourite fillings on a sandwich? Bread and butter.
I'd have a chicken in there.
Do you know what? That's
jalapenos.
A show, Andy.
Fuck Anton in there.
He's just throwing anything into a bread.
Andy had a great shout there. He's had to change my mind. I was going to say chicken and stuffing. I love a chicken and stuffing sandwich with a bit of mayo, but like, a fucking bit of dirty gall and a lean packet of King on a white batch.
I had my first crisp sandwich only about 6 months ago.
What?
Honestly, I thought it was fine. Love crisps, love bread and butter.
Yeah.
That does not go together.
The most north side sandwich ever and you ever let it before.
Honestly, it's mad.
I think there's something wrong with you.
Chicken and cheese, Yeah. Gives you a huge scope for different making a different sandwich. Like,
you can get cheesy chicken and then you can have an extra.
Cheese, no, it's two fillings, cheese and chicken. You can have loads of different types of cheese if you get bored with cheddar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mix it up with a bit of cranberry, what you call it?
Bread.
No, you know, like Wednesdaydale cranberry, you can have that for Wednesday Christmas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then chicken, you could have like different types of chicken. Free that, range. Battery chickens.
That's why
caged chickens. Yeah.
That's why we need Liverpool to be that sandwich.
And you know what you could do adapt as well, to be a real sly bastard, stick turkey in and they never know.
All right, no.
Turkey, you would know the difference.
No, the person watching you that's right. Only allowing you. What are you having there? Chicken. Looks a bit like turkey. It's chicken. you could probably even get away with pork, because pork can look a bit like chicken.
Yeah.
So chicken is an absolute banker, and then you can have all sorts of different sauces
for,
on that.
For me, it's the simplest, but it's one of the nicest. Nicely fresh cooked ham with cheese, but Worcestershire sauce, and toasted under the grill.
Oh yes,
it's Phil. Immense.
Just run that Worcestershire sauce and what else?
Bit of Liam Perrins.
Yeah. On top of the cheese, grill it.
Like the one in the ad. Remember the one in the ad?
And all the bubbles are going.
Yeah. Liam Perrins Worcestershire sauce.
Would you really have ham like
not
Christmas
sliced deli ham as in proper.
You can't take it out and it's all wet, because the wet will just make all the bread soggy, right? Yeah. You have to leave it sort of dry out for a couple of days. So
he hangs it out on the line.
Yeah. And then
ham is way nicer the next day.
Tear it apart. Actually, another one, bolognese and lasagnas are much nicer the next day as well, because all the flavours of flavours overnight.
Pizza.
Yeah, definitely.
Pizza. No. Pizza isn't nice the next day.
It's just edible.
What's wrong with you?
Do you eat cold pizza?
What?
Do you eat cold pizza?
No, because I can afford to buy food.
Yeah. You eat cold pizza?
It's no, I put it in the microwave.
I think it's disgusting.
If the other two said yeah, then I would have said yeah. Don't eat it.
I think they dropped.
How hungover do you have to be? How hungover do you have to be to finish off the curry the next morning?
Oh, never,
never,
absolutely never.
You wouldn't eat the curry the next morning.
It depends on the curry.
If there was a cigarette,
if it was a toy, if it was a toy curry, nice toy curry from Canum.
Where are they based, Andy?
There's one on Battle Street, Andy. Park West.
Green or red?
I'm not fussy. Yellow, red, green, whatever. Okay. Mix it about.
They all have real names.
I also had my first Indian curry there a couple of weeks ago.
Green is
gang
or something like that.
You're finishing up now. Mate, any idea in that score that match now? The United match? Ah, see, he knows the stuff. Anyone want to comment in there? Let me know who he's getting the draw next Friday. Is a wankers.
The good thing about Thai curries, green, red, yellow, they're delicious.
That's always a plus.
Especially in Bag of Street, Park West. But they're healthy as well. It's not like not a huge amount of the calories. They're good, like normally made from natural ingredients and
like ingredients.
Yeah,
they're good.
Not right. Like a Chinese curry where it's like, you know, bits of budgie.
Chinese at
no.
That's great. Anyway, listen,
rotten veg and all that.
That's great.
And even the prawn crackers are shite. Like, you know, if you get a Thai prawn cracker with the spicy one and all
Right, so that brings an end to this week's Just Eat podcast. You can get all our recipes on Deliveroo. This week's podcast, of course, big shout out again to JK Stoutmans, who let us use the facility tonight to record the podcast. Big shout out to Canham, and he wants a free curry. Canham.
Baggot Street,
Ranelagh,
and Park West.
All right.
Delivering to Clondalkin.
Going to leave your address
and pizza as well, Jay. Nice pizza, Firehouse Pizza, Finglas, and Ballymun.
That's great. That's
great. Chiawen rings end.
Right, listen, all the freebies being launched in. A big thanks as well, as I said, to JK Stephens for letting us do here.
Need an ice cream.
As I said, the Tactics Board is with you on Friday night.
Where they'll discuss the United's exit from the championship.
Sevilla's later, lad. Sevilla's later.
As I was saying, just mute you fuckers. Big thanks as ever again to JK Stoutmans for doing it. Watch Friday night, We've got the tactics board starting with Jamie Holmes. So get on there, watch that. It'll also be out as a podcast on Saturday Jamie, morning. Go on, Jamie lad. He's a good man to do something for you. And back on Sunday, of course, is the Fatback Four to discuss our win against Watford and look ahead to our match. Do we have a match midweek next week? No idea. But and then we'll be back next Tuesday, assuming there's no match midweek, because I can't be arsed looking at the fixtures. As ever, to all the United fans watching tonight, whee! Cheerio, boys. You won't be getting number four. See that five times.
We have to close out with Dean. We're with the Vendetta. Yes, fucking bastard.
Not bitter.
Not bitter at all. It's been Ray Brady. It's been Shawnee FC. It's been Andy Gray. It's been me, your host, Phil Casey. Good night. God bless. We'll see you next week. So, okay, good night, evening, and welcome out to the podcast. Tonight we talk about the outcome. Cut him. Right.